Today, we are going to take up another Upanishad, another important Upanishad, called Aitareya Upanishad. Having seen Keno Upanishad, this Aitareya Upanishad, that belongs to the Rig Veda. As we said earlier, Shankaracharya has commented on 10 Upanishads from all the 4 Vedas, and just only to refresh, he chose these 10 because of 2 reasons. One is, most of these Upanishads, 10 Upanishads, are used by Vyasacharya in his Brahma Sutras. And since Brahma Sutra analyzes Veda Mantras predominantly from these 10 Upanishads, Shankaracharya has chosen these, so that will be helpful for people who want to learn Brahma Sutra also. Not only that, by studying these 10 Upanishads, we will comprehensively get not only the final message of the Upanishads and also different methodologies used by the Upanishads to communicate the same idea. Like for example, when we did the Taittiriya Upanishad, we did the Pancha Kosha Viveka, we did the Avastha Traya Viveka, all those we did. So no doubt, there are methods are not ends in themselves, but by using these methods, we arrive at the final message of the Upanishads. And these 10 Upanishads are taken from all the 4 Vedas to show that the Vedas do not have any internal contradiction at all. No internal discordance at all. All the Vedas, Upanishads, Puranas, and even Itihasas, like Mahabharata and all of them have got only one final message. And if you take the distribution of the various Upanishads, then from Yajurveda, in Yajurveda we got 2 branches. One is called Shukla Yajurveda and another is called Krishna Yajurveda. So in Krishna Yajurveda, we have 2 Upanishads, the Taittiriya Upanishad and Kathopanishad. Both we have seen. And from the Shukla Yajurveda, we have 2 Upanishads. One is Ishavasya Upanishad and another is Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. We have already seen Ishavasya. And now from the Samaveda, there are 2 Upanishads, Kena Upanishad and Chandogya Upanishad. We have seen Kena Upanishad. And from Atharva Veda, there are 3 predominant Upanishads, the Mundaka Upanishad, Mandukya Upanishad and Prashna Upanishad. And from the Rig Veda, there is this Upanishad, Aitareya Upanishad. And this Upanishad is called Aitareya Upanishad after the Rishi who contributed these mantras. Aitareya is the Rishi. His original name is supposed to be Mahidasaha. And he is called Aitareya because he is son of the mother called Itara. And therefore he is called Aitareya. So if we take the dictionary meaning, Itara means the other wife, not maybe the second wife. The Rishis had, you know, 1 or 2 wives, and this may be the other wife. So he may be the son of the other wife. So this is called Aitareya. And still people go further and then they try to find out more reasons. Itara has another meaning also, a person belonging to a lower caste. You know, the caste or, you know, so many castes are there. A person belonging to a lower caste. And that is why he got the name Mahidasaha. Dasa, that suffix indicates that he is son of a low caste woman. If he is, for example, a Brahmana, the suffix would be Sharma. And if a Kshatriya, the suffix is Varma. And if he is a Vaishya, then the suffix in the name will be Gupta. So if he is a Shudra, the suffix was Dasa. So this is how the various conventions were there in those Varna-based society. And the story goes as what he was ill-treated because of his low caste. And the mother was very upset. And the mother prayed to the Lord, who took him specially and gave him this wisdom, which he gave through the Upanishad. That is one version. And in another version, he invoked Bhuma Devi, Prithvi Devata, for gaining knowledge. And by the grace of Bhuma Devi, he got all the knowledge. Therefore, he is a disciple, a dasaha. So Dasaha means a disciple also of Mahi. Mahi means Bhumi Devi or Prithivi. So Mahi Dasaha, Prithivi Sishyaha, Itara Putraha, Aitreya. So all these things for various reasons. And he has given this Aitreya Brahmanam portion, Aitreya Aranyika portion, and Aitreya Upanishad. So all the three. So the Brahmana portion, as we have seen earlier, we have told all that earlier, just only to refresh. The Brahmana portion deals with all ritualistic aspects. And the Aranyaka portion deals with the Upasanas. And the Upanishad portion deals with knowledge. So Karma Yoga, Upasana, Jnana Yoga, all of them. Brahmana Bhaga, that deals with Karma Yoga. And the Aranyaka Bhaga, that deals with Upasana Yoga. And Upanishad part deals with Jnana Yoga. And Aitreya Rishi, he has contributed to all the three. And of these, we are going to now enter into Aitreya Upanishad. It is a small Upanishad with five sections. Five sections are Pancha Khandas. This also we have seen earlier, Pancha Khandas. And distributed over three chapters. The first chapter has got three sections. The second chapter has got one section. The third chapter has got one section. And in each section also, the number of mantras are also very small. So three chapters, five sections. And in the first chapter, the Advayam Brahma, Ekameva Advitiyam, that Advayam Brahma is revealed through what is known as Srishti Prakarana. Srishti Prakaranam, we have seen all these things earlier in earlier Upanishads, the creation. And this Srishti, that is dealt with by a particular story here. And that also we are going to see. And in the second chapter, we get the various stages of a jiva, right from garbhadanam, right from the conception in the mother's womb. It is almost like a gynecology chapter, almost. The Upanishad itself, it makes a statement, apakramantu garbhinyaha. That means let all the ladies, let them leave, because there are going to be so many details given, some of them might be scary and all that kind of thing. So, not to get scared. That means a lady who is already, you know, who is carrying, so she should not get emotionally stressed. So, that is the reason they even recite that mantra that everybody should leave. That means actually people who have learned Arunaprashna in Surya Namaskara mantra also, there is one particular Anuvaka. Before we recite that, we ask all the Garbhini Stris to leave. Otherwise, we read it in a very slow, low voice. Ladies were, that means what? Those days, ladies were also learning these Upanishads in those days. Only for Karmakanda, for all the Vedic rituals, they had restriction. But not for Tattva Vichara, for knowledge. No restriction was there. So, the purpose of this chapter, according to Shankaracharya, is Vairagya Siddhyartham. The Garbha Vasam, the difficulties of entering into the Garbha, into the womb of the mother, living there for the entire duration, and what a fetus goes through, all these, the entire thing is all essentially given to gain Vairagya. So, as Shankaracharya himself says in the commentary, this is actually, he has written another beautiful shloka called Shiva Aparada Kshama Arpana Stotra. Kshama Arpana Stotra, that's a very, very beautiful shloka. He says, Adau karma prasangat kalayati kalusham matru kukshau stitam maam vinmutra medhya madhye kvathayati nitaram jataro jata vedaha yadyadvai tatra dukham vyathayati nitaram shakyate kena vaktum kshantavyo me paradaha shiva 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 bho shri mahadeva shambho. Shankaracharya there describes garbhavasam, the life in the garbha, in the womb of the mother. For what purpose? Mukti siddhyartham vairagya praptaye. To gain mukti, I need vairagyam. And for that, all these details were given. At least knowing that, a person should get vairagyam. And this is the essence of the second chapter of this Upanishad. It has only one section. And the third chapter, it's a very small section also. The essence of the third chapter is very important. It gives the Mahavakya, Prajnanam Brahma, the Mahavakya of Rigveda is given there. That is the revelation of the identity between Jiva and Ishvara, Jiva Ishvara Aikyam. And also this is a prose Upanishad or Brahmanopanishad. We already mentioned this when we dealt with Keno Upanishad. This is not a Mantropanishad like Taittiriya Upanishad and all. So this is a prose Brahmanopanishad. And we have seen before that every Veda has got its own relevant Shanti Pata. That's a Shanti Mantra. So that we will not have any obstacles for the study of that Upanishad. And Trividam Pratibandha Nivrityartham Shanti Pataha. As we said in the previous Upanishad also, there are three types of obstacles: Adhyatmika, Adibhaudika, and Adidevika. These are all Pratibandhas, obstacles. For the Atharvana Veda, there is this Shanti Mantra, Badrankarne Vishnunuyama Devaha. That is the Shanti Mantra for Atharvana Veda. And for Krishna Yajurveda, Sahana Vavatu, Sahana Ubhunaktu. That is for the Krishna Yajurveda. And for the Shukla Yajurveda, Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate. That is for the Shukla Yajurveda. And for Samaveda, we just now saw in Keno Upanishad, Apyayantu Mamangani. So all these we have already studied. Now for the Rigveda, we have got a Shanti Pata, which we have not studied before because we have not dealt with Rigveda Upanishad at all so far. And this is the only Rigveda Upanishad for which Adi Shankara gave a commentary. And we will see the Shanti Pata of this Upanishad first before we enter into the text. So let me read the Shanti Pata. Om Vang Me Manasi Pratishtita Mano Mevachi Pratishtitam Aviravirmayeti Vedasyama Ani Istaha Shrutam Mema Prahasihi Ane Nadite Naho Ratran Sandadhami Ritam Vadishyami Satyam Vadishyami Tanmamavatu Tadvaktaramavatu Avatu Mam Avatu Vaktaram Avatu Vaktaram Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. So this is a very beautiful Shanti Pata, especially for a spiritual seeker. Therefore, very, very relevant for all of us. The first prayer that the student offers to the Lord is the following. Let there be harmony between my thought and my word. Look at that. Between my thought and between my word and my thought, let there be harmony. Let there not be any doubt, a double personality at all in me. What I say, I should mean. And what I mean, I also should say the same thing. Let there not be disharmony. Let there not be disintegration in my personality. Because when different personalities are integrated, it is very powerful. When the personalities are not integrated, in English, you know, we use the word disintegration means what? It's disappearance, death. Therefore, my annamaya kosha, pranamaya kosha, manomaya kosha, vijnanamaya kosha, all the layers, they all should be well integrated. This is a very, very important value. And among these different layers, the various koshas, these koshas and all we have seen elaborately in our Taittiriya Upanishad lectures. And also in Tattvabodha lectures, all that. And among these different layers, the most important one for a student is the thought and the word. Because the Upanishadic teaching is in the form of a dialogue. In a dialogue, two organs play important role. One is the mind which receives the message, and the other is the speech which gives the message. Therefore, the prayer is what? I should never tell something which I don't mean. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna gives the value of arjavam. Ahimsa kshantihi arjavam. Amanitvam adambitvam ahimsa kshantihi arjavam. In fact, we extend this by one more thing. Not only thought and the word must be in harmony, later my action also, my thought, my speech, my deed, they all must be in keeping with my thoughts and words, my actions also. And therefore, let me have the integrity of my personality. And that is the first and most important prayer. A person who is integrated in his thought, word, and his deed, he is an integrated person. He is a harmonious person. And this represents actually all the values mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13, shlokas from 6 to 8. Amanitvam madam bitvam ahimsa kshanti rajyavam acharyopasanam shaucham sthairyamatma vinigraha. All those shlokas may have all the values. And now if you look at the mantra, may manasi vak pratishtita. Let my word, whenever I am talking, I should not be mechanically talking. If I am very mechanical, often I will have to say, oh, I said this, but I don't mean that. No, I meant this way, all that. So this should not happen at all. This is why Kathopanishad also, there is this story. There is this father of Nachiketas. We have seen this in Kathopanishad. Vajashravasa, that is his name. And he said, I am going to give you Nachiketas to Yamadharma Raja's Dakshina. And the son Nachiketas says, you have said these words where? In the Yagashala. And you should keep the word. Wherever you say, regardless you should keep, but you have already said it in the Yagashala also. So keeping the word is without any written contract. Nobody was listening, only father and son was listening, they were there. But even then, to maintain the word is considered vak tapas. So keeping the word is considered to be very important. Even if nobody else was there to register, once I utter a word, I should mean it. When you utter a word, you cannot tell somebody, okay, I will give you the word now, send the meaning tomorrow. The word and meaning go together. That is why Vagartha Viva Samprakto Vagartha Pratipattaye. That's what the prayer was. Jagadapitro Vande Parvati Parameshwara. Parvati and Parameshwara, they are united like the vak and its meaning. The word and its meaning, vak and artha. Because nobody else is listening. There is one karma adhyaksha. There is karma paladhata. Ishwara is there. He is watching. Therefore, keeping the word is very, very important. And since keeping the word is important, another important value is never give a word unless you make sure that you can keep it up. So when we are loose in giving words, then we will be in problem, like Dasharatha did. He gave the words to Kaikeyi. Even though there was nobody else, he has to still keep those words, the promise he made. Therefore, vak tapas is extremely important in our culture. So vak means my speech, be always in harmony with the mind. Mind means the thought or knowledge. And not only that, the vice versa also. Mano me vachi pratishtitam. The mind be there in the word whenever I utter any word. Let my mind be there, not talk anything mechanically. Avi avirma edi. Avihi, avi means light. Jyotihi. Avihi means Jyoti Prakasha, the light. Here, light means Brahman. Light is symbolically here for Brahman, which is the light of consciousness. Jyotisham Jyotihi, the ultimate Jyoti, the ultimate light of consciousness, Avihi. Here, the student is addressing Brahman. So, hey Avihi, hey Brahman, who is of the nature of Chaitanyam, the consciousness. So, hey Avihi, may Avihi, Yedhi. We have to carefully note here, avirma edhi is there. So this second avihi and edhi must be joined together as one word, aviredhi. And ma must be taken out. So ma aviredhi, and aviredhi literally means may you become evident to me. That means what? I should have clear knowledge of Brahman or Ishwaraha. And this is important because in the karma kanda, what happens? We worship God knowing the nature or not knowing the nature. How do we worship God in karma kanda? In karma kanda, we don't have knowledge of God at all. Why? Because of knowledge of God, we are going to get what? We are going to get in the jnana kanda. That is where we are going to get the knowledge of God. In karma kanda, there is no knowledge of God. We have got some representations of God, like Rama, Krishna, Ganesha, all those. Nobody knows what God is really like. That is why there is a prayer also at the end of every puja we chant. Oh Lord, I don't know what nature you are. I don't know what puja I am doing. I don't know whether the procedures are correct. Whether you are male or female, or you are Ardhan or Ishwara, or animal, formed or formless. I don't know. Whatever may be your nature, I worship you. to that Ishwaraha, my namaskara. Therefore, we worship God with faith. We understand God later. Worship with faith first and know the God later. People might ask, why can't we do the other way? We are all intellectuals. First, let us know God. Then I will see whether it is worth worshipping Him or not. I will develop faith later. If you know God first, then you don't require faith anymore. Because for knowing God, we require a lot of mental refinement. Mental refinement comes only by worshipping Lord through karma, bhakti, upasana. And while worshipping Lord, we don't know what He is, how He is. Therefore, we have faith in God and worship Him first. And what do we hope? If I go on worshipping the Lord with faith, because of my faith and worship, I will get an opportunity to know the real nature of that God. Therefore, first faith, then jnanam. And therefore, here the student says, until now I have worshipped you with faith, without knowing anything and what you really are and all that. Now I want to know what you really are. Why? I have already come to Upanishads. I have gone through Karmakanda portion already. So now I have come to Upanishad. This is Jnanakanda portion. So I want to know really your nature. Therefore, may you reveal your real nature to me. Vedasya ma anishtaha. And student is addressing his own mind and speech here. Vak and manas. The student, he glorifies. You are responsible for bringing Veda into my life. How? In the Brahmacharya Ashrama. Because remember, originally Vedas were never written. It was only transferred in Karna Parampara. You know, father to son or guru to disciple and go on. And so on, it was, the entire thing was continued. So, the only libraries were the heads of all these Vaidikas. So, how do I get the Vedas? I go to Brahmachari Gurukula Ashrama. And the guru repeats the Veda mantras. And I listen and repeat. At that time, I use my mind and my ears. In the mind, I receive and I repeat. I receive, I repeat, receive, repeat. For so many times, so many years, a person goes through this entire practice. This is how Veda enters the mind. And initially in the form of Shabda Rupam, in the form of sound, in the form of words. Later, he enters into the study of the commentary, analysis. So, first Veda Adhyayanam and then Veda Vicharaha. Adhyayanam gives the words, Vichara gives the meaning. For both of them, the person requires what? Mind and speech. Therefore, he says, Vedasya Ani. Ani means you bring, like a carrier, the courier. So, the Vedas to my mind are brought to by you. So, you are the carrier of the Veda, the courier service to bring the Veda from the Guru's mind to my mind. So, Ani. Ani means to bring into me. And it is actually in dual number. In Sanskrit, you know, we have singular, dual and plural. So, this is dual number because it refers to both speech and mind. So, you have brought Veda to my mind. Now, that Veda has entered my mind. Then what is my next worry? It has come to my mind already. What is my next worry? It should stay there. Therefore, Shrutam me mam prahasit. May I not lose the teaching. Whatever I have learned, may I not lose them. Which I have received from the Guru. Shrutam. Shrutam means the teaching received. The entered teaching into my mind should not fade away. It must be green in my memory all the time. Ma prahasit, let it not be lost. Ma means let it not, negative. So that is why I say reception and then retention. That is why this is called in Medha Shakti. And we have seen this also in the Taittiriya Upanishad. So Medha Shakti means the Grahana Dharana Shakti, the ability to grasp and to retain. We have to. And how is it possible? How will the teaching remain in the mind all the time? The only way is to, you have to keep on revising it. Go on. Go without revision, no retention at all. A person has to go on practicing it. So generally, whenever you are involved in serious studies, the worldly vivahara must be relatively lesser. That is why you will find Veda Purva Bhaga is studied in Brahmacharya Ashrama. And Veda Antabhaga, the Upanishad Dandal, is studied in Sannyasa Ashrama. In both the ashramas, Brahmacharya Ashrama and Sannyasa Ashrama, in the Brahmacharya Ashrama, we have a student's life, Brahmachari. There is no worldly transaction at all. The entire ashrama is devoted only to studies. Then in the Sannyasa Ashrama also, he did not have any possessions, no money, no property, no worldly responsibilities, no transactions. Therefore, the advantage was what? Regular revision was possible of whatever is already learnt for the Brahmachari and Sannyasi. Whereas if you take the Grahastha Ashrama, people like us, you know, who are all in the middle age crisis, people like us, the problem is what? Time for revision is very difficult. Therefore, one should ingeniously manage responsibilities and the time so that somehow or the other, one is able to spend some time to go through the Bhagavad Gita, the Upanishads, all those, whatever we have learned. So here the student prays, "O Lord, I should be able to revise the classes regularly." So he says, "Anena aditena," with this teaching, "Ahoratran sandadhami." Of course, we can never ask for that by all of us. Let me spend my entire day and night, ahoratran, with the revision of these teachings. Though it is not day and night for us, at least maybe 30 minutes to an hour a day for, you know, for people with busy life, at least if they can spend that much time, they'll be good. And ritam vadishyami and satyam vadishyami. Ritam and satyam. They have got different meanings according to the context. In Taittiriya Upanishad, we have a meaning that we have already seen. Here, another meaning is given here by an acharya. In Taittiriya Upanishad, just only to refresh, ritam means knowledge in keeping with shastra. So, shastriya jnanam ritam. Then what is satyam then? Satyam is a life in keeping with what I know. So, shastriya anushtanam. The other one is knowledge, this one is anushtanam. So, mere knowledge without practice is useless. There are a lot of people who can give advice and all, they will not practice any of them. You know, I used to tell this joke. I used to have a friend. He used to teach me long, long ago when I came to this country. He will tell, "Mani, do what I say, don't do what I do." He will not stop for a stop signal or something. So he will say, "Don't do what I do what I say." So here, that's no good. So satyam is anushtanam also. So mere knowledge without practice is useless. Satyam, vada, dharmam, chara, they are not for mere knowledge, but for anushtana or practice. So knowledge is called ritam and practice is called satyam. This is in the Taittiriya Upanishad. And, you know, in those places. And another meaning also we get here, ritam. Ritam means the vyavaharika or empirical truth, the relative truth, which refers to the truth as a value for speaking. So, empirical truth or vyavaharika satyam is speaking truth at the speech level, which is very important value in Dharma Shastra. Then what is the word satyam? It refers to another truth with capital T, capital truth. It is not talking about truth, but it refers to the ultimate reality, which is satyam, jnanam, anantam, brahma, that Brahman. So the spiritual truth, the paramarthika satyam. So ritam is vyavaharika satyam or relative reality, and satyam is paramarthika satyam or absolute reality. So the student says, "I will talk about either vyavaharika satyam or paramarthika satyam according to the context. But I will never talk asatyam, never untruth." That is the message. So in worldly parlance, "I will talk vyavaharika satyam." So while talking, etc., you know, as we have told earlier many times, when somebody asks, "From where are you coming?" He is a Vedanta student. "Where are you coming?" Somebody asked some friend or somebody asked him in a party. One should not say, "I am Brahman. I don't come or go. That is truth, all right. But that one should not talk when a person is transacting in the world. There you should talk about vyavaharika satyam. Whereas in a Vedantic context, after teaching for a long time, the teacher asks the question, "Now do you understand who you are?" At that time one should answer, "Sthula, sukshma, karana, sharirat, vyatiriktaha." Avastatraya Sakshi Atma Aham Asmi. That is what he should be able to tell in that context. Therefore, according to the context, I should be able to think. But I will not talk at any time asatyam. Anritam. Anritam asatyam means untruth. Tathu maam avatu, tathu vaktaram avatu. May that Lord, let that Brahman avatu protect me so that I will be able to complete Aitreya Upanishad. Because this is Shanti Mantra for this Upanishad. So may I be protected by the Lord. And not only I should be protected, let the Lord protect my teacher also. Tathu vaktaram avatu. Vakta means teacher. Guru. May the Lord protect the Guru also. Why? Because I have to learn from him. I have allocated this time. So I want to make sure my teaching is complete and the teacher also is able to teach. So tathu vaktaram avatu. That being very important, it is repeated. Avatu maam, avatu vaktaram. It is repeated. And then Om Shantihi, Shantihi, Shantihi. That you know already. No obstacles from inside of me. No obstacles from the surroundings. And no obstacles from natural forces. Rain, etc. So, let there be no obstacles from any source. So, Adhyatmikam, Adi Baudhikam, and Adi Daivikam, Pratibandha Nivrityartam. To remove all obstacles, three times we repeat Shantihi. So that's how it's done. So this is a very beautiful Rigveda Shanti Mantra. And there is another Upanishad also in the Rigveda. Shankaracharya, he quotes that often in his commentaries. In Brahma Sutra also, there are some statements taken for analysis from that Upanishad. And that Rigveda Upanishad is called Kaushitaki Upanishad. But Shankaracharya didn't comment on that. But that is another Upanishad also in the Rigveda. So Shankaracharya has not written commentary on that. So with this background, now let us enter the Upanishad proper. And we now enter into the first chapter, first section. Let us read. First mantra. Om Atmava Idameka Evagra Asit Nanyat Kinchana Mishate Saikshata Lokanu Srija Iti. As I told, it's a prose Upanishad, so we just read it as prose. There is a general method of teaching the central message of the Upanishad used by most Upanishads. In most of the Upanishads, they follow like a central method that's common in all of them. Only in Mandukya Upanishad, if you happen to see it, a slightly different method is used there, but all others are generally, the general method is used. And the general method has two stages. The first stage is to reveal Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. This, you know, Viveka Chodamani and all, we have finished all that. So, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, to reveal, that is the first stage. And then the second stage is Jivo Brahmaiva Na Paraha. That is the second stage. So, first method is called Karya Karana Prakriya. Prakriya means method of teaching. Karana means cause, Karya means effect. They all, we know, these words are all very familiar to us. And how Karyam, the effect, has originated from the Karanam, the cause. So this Karya Karana Prakriya, this method of teaching, is also called Srishti Prakriya. The creation. Srishti is creation. So the method of revealing the creation, how the creation has come about. So this Srishti Prakriya is used to convey the first and most important message, that is Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. Brahman alone is Satyam, the entire Jagat, this Prapancha, this world is Mithya. And how does the method work? The Upanishad says, there is one Karanam, one cause, and out of that one ultimate cause, one Karanam means there is no other Karanam, only one Karanam, out of that one ultimate cause, with capital C, infinite effects evolved. So from one ultimate cause, infinite effects have evolved. Just for example, science talks about the Big Bang theory. And before that state, it was called what? It was called singularity. All those physics people might know. Singularity, where even time and space were not available or recognizable. So from that singularity, this huge cosmos has come about. Very similar to that. And once you talk about the cause and effect, then we have four features of cause, namely Ekaha, Saraha, Nityaha, and Satyaha. So four: Eka, Sara, Nitya, and Satya. We will see all of them. So cause is one, cause is Saraha. Saraha means substantial, that is a Sara, substantial. Cause alone is the substance, the Karanam alone is the substance. It is Nityaha, it is eternal. And it is Satyaha, it is real. And it is Ekaha, it is only one. So real means here, it is independently existent. It doesn't depend on anything else to exist. It is independently existent. So Eka, Sara, Nitya and Satya. Eka, Sara, Nitya, Satya. That is cause. And Karyam, the effect, now we are going into details of the Upanishad. And Karyam is diagonally opposite. It is not Ekaha, but it is Anekam. It is pluralistic. The effects are pluralistic. And then it is Asaram. It is not substantial. Only name and forms. And Anityam. It is impermanent. It is fleeting. Therefore, there is an emotional message also here. Do not emotionally rely upon anything fleeting. The entire world is Namarupa. It is only names and forms. It is non-substantial, it is mithya. Don't emotionally lean on it. That is the message. Use the world to serve and grow. And finally, what do? Grow out. This is the Vedic message. Use the world, including family. Use the family to serve, to grow internally. And then grow out emotionally. Grow out of the family so that we are ready even if a separation happens, temporarily or permanently. All these we will know if we remember world is asaraha. It is pithless and anityam. It is impermanent. And what is the fourth one? Asatyam. It does not have existence of its own. If products do not have existence of their own, then how do I experience them? You know, this is an important question. If products have no existence of their own, how do I experience them? Remember, we experience because even though they don't have existence of their own, they all have borrowed existence. What is the example? Just as ornaments have existence borrowed from where? From gold. We have gold bangle, gold ring, gold necklace. All have the bangle, ring, necklace, all of them have existence borrowed from gold. Same with furnitures. Furniture, it has got existence from wood. Same way, the entire world has got existence borrowed from Brahman or Chaitanyam. Therefore, world comes under asatyam. Asatyam does not mean, you know, these are all important concepts in Vedanta. World comes under asatyam. Asatyam does not mean not experienceable. Asatyam is experienceable, but still it does not have existence of its own. Asatyam is called mithya. Therefore, karanam is satyam, karyam is mithya. Karanam, cause, is satyam, karyam, effect, is mithya. Karanam is known by two popular names. Brahman is one word, popular word. Whereas in Aitriya Upanishad, Atma, the word Atma is used, that is also called the Paramatma, the Supreme Self. So Paramatma is the Karanam. Prapancha, the entire world, is Karyam. Therefore, Paramatma Satyaha and Prapanchaha Mithya. This is the first method and first message. And the second method and the message is what? Jivo Brahmaiva Naparaha. It is conveyed by another important method that is called Anupravesha or Pravesha Prakriya. Previous one was Srishti Prakriya. This is Anupravesha or Pravesha Prakriya. Anupravesha or Pravesha means entry. So entry Prakriya, methodology. And what do you mean by Anupravesha or entry Prakriya? What does the Upanishad say? Brahman created the world. He created bodies. He created all the minds. So which are all inert, which are all matter, made up of matter only, materialistic. Therefore, for the sake of transaction, the very same Brahman, entered into the body-mind complex, the all-pervading Brahman, he became an enclosed Brahman, as it were, into various bodies and minds. Enclosed in what? In every body. And this enclosed Paramatma is called, or he is renamed as Jivatma. And how many Jivatmas will be there? As many as the enclosures are. And that Jivatma, who is none other than the creator Paramatma, that Jivatma alone experiences the world through the enclosure body, mind, sense complex. With that he transacts, he does all that. So the enclosed Jivatma is the experiencer of the world. In Sanskrit, experiencer is called Bhokta. So Bhokta Jivatma he becomes in each person, in each body. And who is this? Bhokta Jivatma? The same Srashta Paramatma, the creator Paramatma alone is now available as experiencer Jivatma. So Srishtikarta Paramatma eva idanim Bhokta Jivatma bhavati. There is no difference between creator Paramatma and the experiencer Jivatma. Therefore, Jivo Brahmaiva na Paraha. There is no difference between the Jiva and Brahman. Why? Anupraveshat. Because of entry. So, the creator Paramatma is available within the body as experiencer Jivatma. They may look confusing, but they are not. They are very straightforward. Creator Paramatma is available within the body as experiencer Jivatma. Is there any transformation taking place when the creator Paramatma now plays the role of experiencer Jivatma? The Upanishad says, absolutely no transformation at all. Because Paramatma cannot undergo any change, being Nirvikara. We have already said Paramatma is Nirvikara, cannot undergo any change, no Vikaras. Without undergoing a change, Paramatma now plays the role of Jivatma enclosed within the body-mind complex. How can it happen without transformation? We expect some transformation normally, right? To convey this alone, Vedanta gives the well-known example of the total space. After the creation of so many parts, containers, the all-pervading space is available in every container, big container, small container, as what? Enclosed space. And when all pervading space becomes enclosed space, what transformation took place? In space, there is no transformation at all. Even though enclosed space alone is useful, you know, if you want to have, for example, a house, what do you require? You require an enclosed space. If you require a container for eating food, you require what? Enclosed space. So enclosed space alone is useful to us. The all-pervading Paramatma, he now plays the role of Jivatma. Therefore, when you say, I experience the world, what is the meaning of I? Even though normally the word I means Jivatma, Vedanta says, I the Jivatma, the experiencer Jivatma, I am none other than creator, the creator Paramatma. So, Anupraveshaha, entry. Entry is an indirect Mahavakyam. It reveals the creator, experiencer, I. So, space example, for example, that shows what? Space is one and the same before entry as well as after entry into the part, it is the same. It has not undergone even an iota of change, space itself. Like that, another powerful example we give also the dream example. In Vedanta, these are all popular examples. The waker is the creator of the dream. Not only the waker creates the huge Swapna Prapancha, the entire dream world he creates, the waker creates a body also for dream transaction. Why? Because this body cannot be used, because my body, as if the waker's body cannot be used. There is no visa for the waker's body to enter into the dream world. Therefore, for dream transaction, one requires a dream body. Which who creates? The waker creates. And who is behind that body? Waker himself enters the dream world and identifies with the dream body. And the creator waker becomes the dream experiencer. So the experiencer, the bhokta of the dream, is none other than the creator waker. I create, I enter. So what is the lesson from dream example? The dreamer experiencer bhokta of the dream world is none other than the creator waker, I. Similarly, now I am the experiencer bhokta. I am not different from the creator Paramatma. Thus we are going to get Anupravesha in the first chapter, third section. So in the two sections, Srishti Prakriya, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, and in the third section, Anupravesha Prakriya, Jivo Brahma Ivanaparaha, this is the substance of the first chapter going to be. Then the Upanishad indicates, I, the experiencer Jiva, am the creator Paramatma. Unfortunately, we do not know this fact. Nobody says, I am the creator. Everybody says, I am a creature of some substance. I am a helpless creature. Even if you don't say, others will scold us. They will say, what a creature you are. So exactly like what? Once you enter the dream, for a dreamer, dream is not a dream. He doesn't recognize the truth. Similarly, we the experiencer Jivatmas have forgotten this truth. We have forgotten. And we may ask the question, okay, we forgot. What is so what? We have forgotten so many things. So the Upanishad says, other things a person can afford to forget. For example, in college, we studied, whatever we studied in the college, we have forgotten. No harm. Only when you have to teach your kid going to school, then only you have to restudy. But this particular fact, I, the experiencer Jivatma, I am none other than the creator Paramatma, and the entire world is only Nama Rupa, Mithya, Prapancha, this we cannot afford to forget. Because by forgetting our real nature, we will convert our life into a huge burden, a huge liability. Praying for anayasena maranam, vinadainyena jivanam, dehime kripaya shambho, toyi bhaktim achanchala. I want achanchala bhakti towards you because what I want? Anayasena maranam. I want to have a comfortable death without any ayasam. But if you remember this real nature, life is not a burden in spite of problems. I see life as a rare opportunity to claim my glory. Vibhuti Yoga. Therefore, we have to claim our true nature, which is all the sadhanas are about. While all others are lost in the worldly materialistic pursuits, the first chapter will conclude with the statement that a few rare jivatmas are alone. They will work for claiming this Aikyam, the Jiva Ishwara Aikyam, the oneness of Jivatma and Paramatma. So the glory of such a jnani is talked about there, and with that the first chapter will conclude. And the second chapter will talk about the consequences of not gaining this knowledge, how life will become a Mahachakram. This is how the development is going to be. Now, we now enter into the Srishti Prakriya, where the Jagat Karanam Brahma, that is introduced in this mantra. Now, if you look at the mantra, it says, Atma, Atma means here Paramatma, which is Ekasara Nitya Satya Karanam Eva Idam Ekaha. So, Ekaha means this is this Ekam, Ekatma, this cause is only one, is Ekam. Ekam Eva Agre Asir Ekameva Advitiyam. It is Ekam Eva Advitiyam. There is no second also. That cause. So that cause is only Ekam. Eva Agre Asit. Agre. Before the origination of the universe. That is Srishtehe Purvam. Before the origination of the universe. That is what Agre is. And not only that. Na Anyata Kinchana. That alone was there before the origination of the universe. Na anyata kinchana. There was absolutely nothing else other than Paramatma. Even Desha, Kala, space and time, they were not there. That is why you cannot say where Paramatma was. Because if you want to say where Paramatma was, you require what? A location. That is space. Therefore, for Paramatma, neither space location nor time location was there. So, timeless and spaceless Paramatma. That was there originally. Na anyata kinchana mishad. Mishad, the word mishad, by implication here, it means living beings. It is derived from the root mish. Mish means to blink. Unmesha Nimishotparna Vipanna Bhumanavalye Namaha. One of the names are Amba. Unmesha Nimisha. Blinking. This is called, you know, mish. And the blinking can be done by whom? Only by living beings. A dead body will not blink. So Chetana Tattvam alone can blink. But Shankaracharya says it includes Achetanam also. Therefore, Namishad. So neither living beings nor things were there before Srishti. Paramatma alone was. And this Paramatma has got what? A great power. And that is the power of Srishti, Sthiti, Laya, Shakti. The ability to create, to sustain and to destroy. And that Shakti is called Maya Shakti that we have to supply. Upanishad doesn't say that. We have to supply. And how do you know that? Because the Upanishad says, Atma created the world. If Atma has to create the world, it should have what? It should have a power to create. For example, if you say, Rama spoke, that means what? Rama has a speaking power. Similarly, if Paramatma created the world, it has the power of creation, Maya Shakti. Then the question will come, if Maya Shakti was there and Paramatma was there, how many should be one count? Two. Because Paramatma and Maya. And then how can the Upanishad say Ekaha? For that our answer, we already know these answers from other studies earlier. Any power cannot exist separately. Therefore, power cannot be counted as two. For example, we have seen this example. My speaking power does not exist separate from me. Your hearing power also does not exist separate from you. So, Atma and Maya cannot be counted as two, it is only one. So, this Maya Sahita, Maya Shakti Sahita Paramatma Asit, that alone was there. And this creator alone is popularly known as Ishwaraha or Bhagavan. And when the scriptures talk about God, what is the technical definition of God? This also you have seen. Paramatma plus Maya Shakti is Ishwaraha. And what did the Bhagavan do? He created the world of things and beings and he did not create them at random. But after careful thought deliberations, he created the entire thing. Just as before we doing any action, like for example building a house, don't we deliberate? So many plans are drawn, where the planning, where the bathroom has to be, where the kitchen has to be, where the puja room should be. If a simple house requires thinking and planning so much, what to talk about the entire creation of the entire prapancha? Similarly, Bhagavan wanted to create the world and the living beings so that they can be matched and they will have sukha, dukkha, all those anubhavas. This planning is said here, saha ikshata. Ikshata means aikshata, mentally visualized. The Lord mentally visualized. Bhagavan's mind, the Maya Shakti, with his Maya Shakti, with Maya mind, the Lord visualized. How many lokas must be there? Like how many bedrooms, how many bathrooms, how many living, all those will be there. They are all depending upon the so many members in the family. Similarly, for the infinite jivas, the Lord has to create higher lokas, lower lokas, middle lokas. The higher lokas for people with punyam, so they can have a garat time maybe. And middle loka is for intermediate people like manushyas, manushya loka. And then the lower lokas for predominantly involving pain, suffering. So six lokas, bhuvar loka, suvar loka, mahar loka, jano loka, tapo loka, satya lokas. And then one intermediate loka, the bhuloka. Whereas, you know, so, and then there are six lokas below. Atala, vitala, sutala, rasatala, mahatala, talatala, patala, all those lokas. And not only these 14 lokas, Lord has to create the jivas in various lokas also. So, jiva referring to what? So, six lokas above, one loka in middle, seven loka below. So, the sthula sukshma shariram have to be created. Okay. All on what basis the Lord does? We know that answer also. The whole thing is based on the Punya Papa. So the current Srishti was based on the Punya Papam of the previous Srishti. And the previous Srishti was based on the Punya Papas of its previous Srishti and so on. Then what is the basis of the first creation? That will be the question. Vedanta will say, there is no first creation. Creation is an eternal process of expansion and contraction. We have to refer to the lectures of the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita where the Lord said, Narupamasyeha tato palabhyate నాంతో నచాదీర్ణ చ సంప్రతిష్ట. థర్డ్ శ్లోక, నాంత నాది. దర్ఫోర్ ఫ్రమ్ అనాదికాల క్రియేషన్ అండ్ ప్రళయం, క్రియేషన్ ప్రళయం, ఇట్ హస్ బీన్ గోయింగ్ ఆన్, దాట్ కెనాట్ బి స్టాప్డ్. ఎ పర్టిక్యులర్ జీవ డజన్ స్టాప్ ద సైకిల్. ఎ పర్టిక్యులర్ జీవ కెన్ పెర్హాప్స్ గెట్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ సైకిల్ బై వేకింగ్ అప్, బై గెటింగ్ నాలెడ్జ్. అండ్ దర్ ఫోర్ ఐక్షత, ఐక్షత మీన్స్ వాట్? లార్డ్ విజువలైజ్డ్ బేస్డ్ ఆన్ ద లా ఆఫ్ క్రియేషన్, దట్ వీ హ్యావ్ టు యాడ్. అండ్ వాట్ వాస్ ఈస్ విజువలైజేషన్? లోకాను సృజత ఇతి. ఐ విల్ జస్ట్ ఎక్స్ప్లెయిన్ దిస్ వర్డ్ ఓన్లీ అండ్ స్టాప్. లెట్ మీ క్రియేట్. హూ థాట్? భగవాన్ థాట్ దిస్ మాయా మైండ్. అండ్ వాట్ కెన్ ఐ క్రియేట్? ద లోకాన్ ఆర్ ద లోకాస్ ఫార్ ఆల్ ది జీవాస్ టు ఇన్హాబిట్ అండ్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్. ఐ విల్ క్రియేట్ ద వర్ల్డ్ అండ్ వీ కెనాట్ గో ఇన్ దట్, వీ రిక్వైర్ సమ్ స్పేస్, రైట్? సో అండ్ ఫార్ భగవాన్ దిస్ ప్లానింగ్ ఎట్సెట్రా ఈస్ నాట్ అ బిగ్ టాస్క్ ఫార్ హిమ్, బికాస్ హీ సర్వశక్తిమాన్. సో క్షణమాత్రేణ సంకల్పమాత్రేణ లార్డ్ డస్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్. సో కామయత బహు శ్యాం ప్రజా ఏతి ద లార్డ్ విత్ జస్ట్ ఈ సంకల్ప హీ కుడ్ మేక్ ఇట్. సో ద వెరీ నాలెడ్జ్ ఈస్ ఎనఫ్ ఫార్ ద లార్డ్ టు క్రియేట్. సో అండ్ హీ క్రియేట్ ద 14 లోకాస్ ఇమాన్ లోకాన్ అసృజత. Of course, the Upanishad highlights the 14 lokas. We should note, these 14 lokas are not created directly first, but before that some intermediate stages were there. That all we know by other from the other lectures, which we have studied in the Upanishad earlier. All those intermediate stages are all we have to supply. The Pancha Bhutani, they were created, and that also the subtle Pancha Bhutas, 5 elements were created, and thereafter the subtle Pancha Bhutas, they had to go through a process called grassification, called Panchikaranam. In Tattvabodha, we have dealt with all in great detail. We are not going to go through those things now. So, the five elements, subtle five elements got grassified. So, these are the two stages. So, from the gross elements, the 14 lokas were created, lokan asrujata. So, that is how the creation takes place. So, Brahma Satyam, Jagan Mithya analysis is what is taken in the first stage in this Upanishad, in this chapter. In this section, we are going to see the second mantra in the next webinar. Yo veda dau swara prokto vedante cha prasittitah tasya prakriti leena sayya parasamaheshwarah. Sri Krishna arpanamastu.